Dr. Dana Barbel is with us. She joins us every other Friday. She's Chicago's exotic pet vet and the chief veterinary officer for the North American veterinary community. How are you today, Dana?
I'm good. How are you, Lisa?
Doing great. And we're down one producer, so let me just say, if you have a question, it would be best if you text it today. Otherwise, Colin's going to be trying to manage everything in that producer box. So 312-981-7200. I know that you have studied, operated on, treated just about every animal in the world. We were all devastated to see that the baby dolphin died after 4 days at Brookfield Zoo. That's heartbreaking for the veterinarians there and for the keepers there, right?
Absolutely. You know, I know some of the veterinarians at Brookfield personally, and I know that this, my heart breaks for them. This ruins their week, if not their month. So it's always so exciting to have animals born at the zoo, to have successful breeding programs. It can be important for conservation, give us loads of interesting scientific research and information, and then to have something that seemed to be going so well, and they were reporting so much, so many good things, and then to have it turn suddenly is just devastating for them. So my heart goes out to them today. I really hope they're taking care of themselves.
And I hope this doesn't prevent them from showing the birth of babies, because I watched that baby be born, and I just was so excited to see something like that, watching it on video. And of course, it's heartbreaking for everybody who's you know, just invested in it. All right, how can you tell if your dog needs more exercise?
They're
chunker. You can usually look at him and go,
usually tell.
Yeah, that dog looks like he's an Ottoman.
So a couple of things stand out. First, especially if they're young dogs, you know, under two, the answer is probably almost always yes. So, you know, there's a few examples where we'll say no, but almost always the answer is going to be yes. Dogs really are made to move. They're made to herd sheep and go for long runs and go on hunts and do all these active things. And they live with us in houses, which is great. But let's be honest, we could all probably use a little more exercise. So, you know, but the big thing is, especially if you have a young dog and you're experiencing some unwanted behaviors, they're chewing, they're vocalizing, they're crying when you leave. This is an animal that probably first and foremost needs to be a little bit more tired out. Yes, they may need other training or other behavioral interventions, but I can't tell you how many times my answer to these pet owners is just, how many walks are you going for? I think you need to go for more.
Right.
Or maybe you need to have a good play session in the backyard. Let's work on our fetch skills. Maybe this is a dog that would be good with Frisbee. So, you know, lots of great things. But the other thing is, it could be, you know, just a walk is a great weight loss plan for most dogs. You know, if you have a dog and the vet tells you, we're starting to get a little chunky, you know, just increasing their walks from like 2 or 3 days a week to once a day, 20, 30 minutes is often enough to see real changes in metabolism and get some really significant weight loss. So almost always, most dogs need more exercise.
How long do you feed a puppy food?
Oh, this is a great question, because it's one I get all the time, because there's a little bit of variation here. There used to be kind of, especially for larger dogs, for these dogs that weigh 60, 70, or over 100 pounds in adults, there used to kind of be this fallacy that they shouldn't get puppy food, that they would grow too fast and have problems. And I'll tell you, that actually used to be true, because puppy food is very concentrated. It has a lot of extra calories. It's got a lot of extra nutrients. And sometimes we don't want, especially our large and giant breed dogs, to grow too quickly. But for a long time now, we've had large breed puppy food, and they can stay on that. Usually about the same time, I'm recommending spaying and neutering, somewhere between 6 months for small breed dogs, 12 to 18 months for large breed dogs. It's time to switch from that super concentrated, high calorie, high energy puppy food to an adult food. Now, there are some reasons you might switch earlier, might switch later, but I always love that 6 to 12 months range.
Okay, well, we're at 9, and I was just making the consideration, like, I'm thinking, because she's just starting to fill out. She's gone from being this super thin dog to, now she's looking like an Aussie Shep like she should, and I thought, this is about the time I need to make the switch.
Yeah, I think that's a great sign, actually, when you see kind of, especially a longer, lankier, active dog like an Aussie Shepherd, like those herding breeds, they burn a lot of calories.
Oh, yes,
so,
they do.
You know, sometimes they can stay at puppy food just a bit longer, but this is a great time to make the switch. I think you're right on, Lisa.
You know what? I literally take both of my index fingers and both of my thumbs, and that's how I measure her around the skinniest part of her belly, and they don't touch anymore. They don't touch. And I'm like, oh, she's starting to fill out. And yesterday, after a 2-mile walk, she's like, what are you talking? Let's go. Let's go. And I'm like, all right.
I can go more.
Yeah. We'll play.
I can go more. I can do it.
Exactly. You're going to like this because you have done breast cancer surgery on a hedgehog, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
This person says, I've had pet African pygmy hedgehogs as pets for many wonderful years.
Wonderful.
Why are they prohibited on airplanes when other small mammals like cats can actually fly on a plane?
You know, it's interesting because we were just thinking about this. Airline travel with pets is very challenging. So really, most airlines are not inclined to take animals that they are not fully aware of their requirements on an airplane ride. And I sort of understand why. It's because of safety concerns. So most airlines will only take cats and dogs. There's a few that might take some other small mammals or maybe some birds with the proper paperwork, but you know, for whatever reason, hedgehogs are just very uncomfortable with the idea that they might become stressed or get injured or cause an injury in the case of hedgehogs or get out of a carrier.
Oh, that would cause total chaos. People would panic.
Chaos.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always interesting to me. Reptiles are never allowed in planes. It's probably a good thing. They would probably get too cold. We really want to be careful with the dogs, with those, you know, our bulldogs, our brachycephalics, our smushy-faced dogs. They can have a hard time on planes. So the same thing is true with, like, other small mammals, hedgehogs, rats and mice, you know, guinea pigs. Even rabbits are being more and more restricted on planes. And the reason is the airlines are just more and more aware that these animals might not do well, and they don't want to get in a case where an animal gets injured on their flight.
Interesting.
So, I know they're probably being overly cautious with your hedgehog, but they're being overly cautious with your hedgehog.
Yes.
So it's sort of a mixed bag,
Dr. Dana,
you know,
go ahead. Dr.
No,
Dana, you got
to
be safe. I mean, that's it. Look, I've flown with a bird, and it went pretty well, although people around you get obsessed with it and then go, can I see it? Can I see it? Well, that doesn't help the stress level of the animal at all, you know? So it's I get what you're saying. All right, Dr. Dana Varble is with us, Chicago's exotic pet vet, and more questions, just send them to 312-981-7200. Coming up next, we'll talk about clipping your cat's claws and what dog breeds are more prone to diarrhea. That's something you want to know before you adopt an animal. First, Mary has a check on weather and traffic. Dr. Dana Varble is the Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community. She joins us every other Friday, gracious enough to take your questions. And here's one. This person says, Dana, our dog is 7 and has turned fearful of everything in the past 6 months. It's hard to even get him to go for walks, which he used to love. Thoughts on the cause? We live in the same neighborhood his whole life, and someone next door shuts a car door, and he scrambles. He just scrambles to get in the door, to get home.
Oh, poor thing. Oh, you know, these are rough because we've got a 7-year-old dog here. This is a dog that's getting into his senior years. First, I'd say go to the vet only to make sure that hearing and vision are okay. Sometimes if there's an eye or a hearing problem that happened either through infection or just another disease cause, we'll see an acute change in like our behaviors because they're just not able to see or hear things as well. So if that's been ruled out and you're like, nope, C's fine, we hear fine, something else is going on, as crazy as it sounds, sometimes it's good to go back and find like a basic obedience class for a dog like this, because you have so much, for whatever reason, anxiety and fear built up, and see how they do. See if, talk to the instructors too and say, I need something quiet. I need a real quiet group. Maybe even go back to a puppy class.
Yeah, yeah.
Where everybody else is a little bit little. And see if you can rebuild some confidence around things. The other thing that you could talk to your vet about is if it's just becoming debilitating, you can't even get through training, you can't even get through some basic things, it might be some time to consider some medications. Mm. So there are a lot of anti-anxiety medication out there, not like they used to be. You know, in the old days, we'd give dogs some big tranquilizer, they'd fall asleep and like...
Yeah,
okay,
4 hours, they'd be sound asleep. You're like, God, what happened?
Right, happened. You can't teach them then. Like, they're just a zombie, right? But there are medications now that are really more about reducing anxiety so that they can relearn things, function again. And it does happen even in, you know, older dogs, rarely, but it does happen. So, you know, go back to the basics, see how you do, and then talk to your vet about some alternative things if we need to.
You know,
good luck.
My husky that I have has always been that fearful dog. He came out of a very mm-hmm. extremely terrible situation, and I feel like he's imprinting that on the puppy. Like, you know, he's afraid to walk through a door, so now she's watching him, and she's like, I don't know, I'm kind of afraid to walk. Like, you are not afraid to walk through a door.
It's so true, though. Like, I always look at, like, we are our old dog is a breed. I think he's a Leonberger. I've told you about him.
Yeah.
He is mellow to the point of like, you're like, are you okay, buddy?
Yeah.
He's that's him. And then, but it's great because he's really taught dogs that are younger than him, like almost nothing is a big deal to him. And it's great to bring up a puppy around him. But yeah, it's really challenging if you have an older dog that's like,
yeah,
look at that. It might be bad. And the puppy's like, is it? I don't know. Oh my God, maybe it is. So
I know.
You got to overcome that. So good luck.
Thank you. All right. Six dog breeds more prone to diarrhea, because there are some people that just don't want to ever be cleaning up after a dog. And if this, are they really prone to it? Like, it would happen more often, even if it's not something they ate or what?
Yeah, so this is a great study. This came out of the UK. It came across my desk twice today, Lisa, because people were like, is this real? Is this really real? And it seems like it is. So we do know that certain, especially purebred dogs, tend to have, can have some underlying diseases that can contribute to this. So this compared a whole large variety of dogs, and they found six, several purebreds and several mixed breeds that are a little more prone to diarrhea. So the purebreds were Maltese, miniature poodles, German Shepherds and Yorkies.
Mm.
So I'm not surprised about a lot of those. And then the two mixed breeds were Cavapoos, which is a Cavalier King Charles and a poodle, and a Cockapoo, which is a Cocker Spaniel and a poodle. So it does seem like there are certain breeds that are predisposed to having diarrhea. Now, for those of us in the medical field, we probably went, yeah, a couple of those make sense to us. German Shepherds are notorious for having food intolerances, as well as they can have pancreatic and other problems that can contribute to them having a little bit more, being a little more diarrhea prone. And the same thing is true with poodles. Different diseases, but it is not unusual for them to get diarrhea from some underlying diseases too. But you'll also notice that the same really funny thing about that study was it said dogs under three, and I'm going to guess, Lisa, that you are on the right track there. Dogs under three are probably eating things they shouldn't
be. Yeah.
And then the other age group was dogs over nine. And those are senior dogs that, again, might be more prone to being a medical issue. So it's a really great study because it really helps us as veterinarians and as pet owners make some different choices for our pets, especially if they're in one of those breeds that's going to be a little more susceptible to diarrhea.
Okay. I have less than a minute left, but we have a listener who sent in a text. They lost their dog on Thursday at age six. Mm. The dog was perfectly healthy. diagnosed 2 months ago with lymphoma and passed away at age six. They're just wondering, like, how dogs get lymphoma. Probably no different than the way we get cancer, right?
So lymphoma is a cancer of the lymph nodes. It's really common, unfortunately. And usually it's in older dogs, just like every other form of cancer. But lymphoma is one of those things that pops up. And just like in people, there are juvenile or in people, there are even pediatric forms of lymphoma. So again, it is a type of cancer that is known to happen in younger dogs, in younger people, in younger cats. And in dogs, we don't know what causes it. I wish we did. It is one of the cancers that we have a lot of good chemotherapy around. So if your dog is diagnosed with it, there are some really good options. And remember, when we do chemotherapy in dogs, it's not quite the same. We don't want them to lose their hair, have horrible GI symptoms. We just want to keep them healthy for as long as we can. So I'm so sorry to hear that. I hope your family is doing okay and that you're hanging in there and can hopefully find a new companion one day when you're ready.
Thank you so much for joining us. Have a beautiful weekend.
You're welcome. You too. Everyone, stay safe.
Dr. Dana Varble. I call her Chicago's exotic pet vet. That's where you'll find her. Steve's News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.